So I am in the southwest corner of the Northeast, and God loves to use the foolish things to confound the wise. So I've been on a campus for the last 17 years, first three as a volunteer, last 14, on staff at a church. So I'm just now becoming a missionary and joining many of your ranks. So I'm excited to learn the ways of the Jedi with you guys. The next slide here, my first slide, I don't know what but my first one, the one that does not have me. Okay, that's my dog. My dog's name is Tebow. When we got him, that's when Tim Tebow was of larger fame, and my oldest daughter was kind of infatuated with him at that time, as many young Christian girls are. But this kind of dog is a Maremma sheepdog. This sheepdog, it's a flock guard, and we live on 33 acres, and our flock is our four kids. And we live on the end of a half-mile gravel road at the end of a one-mile, one-lane paved road. So we live in the middle of nowhere, and when people come out there, they either have bad business they want to do or they're lost and scared. And so in either case, the dog is kind of helpful to protect our family, protect our kids, particularly as I travel. And my wife doesn't like guns, although my 16-year-old son loves them and has an arsenal. I don't know if this is appropriate to say, but he has an SKS for those that you guys. Okay, he just got this. Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. That's when I found out that he had purchased it. I also said, oh, really? But I digress. So this dog is brilliant. It is an excellent flock guard. It has a lightly worn path around our house where it frequently goes around our house to make sure that our home is protected. In the wintertime, it loves to be outside all year round. In the wintertime, you'll see spots in the snow that have been melted where he has sat on the vantage point to watch where the intruders come from up our driveway, to monitor that at all situations. Often during the night, you'll hear him vocalize, I just want to let you guys know I'm here. Just want to let you guys know I'm here. Bark, 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 bark. I'm still here. You should go away. I'm here. And this is what this breed dogs. They are incredible. They're great being around our kids. Our oldest son just has wrestled this thing, and I mean it's just been great. But he is a beast of a dog. He's terrified policemen that have come out at times, and but is awesome. But with this breed, they're so intelligent. If a farmer has them out with his flock of goats or sheep, but just leaves them out there, eventually the farmer will be forgotten and become the threat. Now, it'll still do what it's supposed to do as far as keeping out keeping out coyotes or any other animal that would try to come in and take advantage of that flock. And I say this for a reason. Sometimes I think our directors can feel a little bit like they're just out there, and they're going to do their job, and they're going to put their head down, and they're going to go after it. And it's important for me to continue to have relationship with our dog. So it's strong. He's excited to see me. I'm excited to see him. I'm helping him to continue to do what he is supposed to do well. I'm helping to continue to train him to do that with excellence so that I don't all of a sudden show up and he looks at me and says, I'm not really sure that I have enough relationship that I can trust why you're doing this. And so I'm going to protect my flock, which may mean I bite you. And so the whole reason that we're trying to encourage our district directors to spend time with their campus directors is to facilitate that relationship so that these guys can do these, and many of you are directors already as well, but so that you can do this with excellence, so that you can, as Jeremy was just talking about so eloquently, man, so that you can execute the plan of God with excellence, so we can steward what God has given us. We all believe that this mission is the most strategic in the world. We know everybody does important stuff, but man, this is the most strategic on the most strategic mission field. And I'm just going to say I'm in the Northeast. I think we have the most strategic campuses on the most strategic mission field. It's just because I have the mic that I can say that, I guess. And I think what happens sometimes is the Proverbs 29:18 up there, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. See, sometimes we read that verse, that first half, and we think, man, people just go off into sin and craziness. But sometimes I think where there is no revelation, where they've forgotten the vision, where they've had their head down, they've been working hard, sometimes they just begin to wander. They lose the restraint of wisdom. They lose the restraint of discernment, and they just begin to wander off course. And so sometimes you have them focusing on things that they shouldn't necessarily be primarily focusing on. Maybe it's been hard and the ground has been hard and they've been working the soil and it's just been hard. And so they've looked for something a little bit easier instead of looking for God's help and way and strategy to overcome that difficulty. And so that's why we're even talking about this campus ministry assessment, to create, to give you a few tools to help your directors to assess and evaluate what's going on so that they can come away from, the, by the end of a school year, they can evaluate their school year, they can come away with not just some strategies, but some action plans and some goals that they can execute as they're coming into the next school year. So that's what this session is about, walking you through a couple of example tools. We're not mandating as National Chi Alpha, this is the tool that every director will use, or you're gonna die or something, lose your charter affiliation or something like that. But we're gonna give you some tools. Some of you guys are brilliant. At Fairmont State, we are not innovators and creators, we are thieves. And we are proud thieves, and we will gladly steal your great ideas and believe that it is the wisdom of God being given to us and celebrate it and use it. And so everything I'm teaching you I haven't come up with any of this stuff, other than that's my dog. That's about the only thing I own out of this presentation. I've just stolen this stuff from other people that I think are brilliant. So, let's see. And I would say this too. Some of you are such brilliant, intuitive leaders that sometimes you don't even know why you make the great decisions that you make. Some of you are such brilliant, intuitive leaders. Sometimes you don't even know why you make the decisions you make. It's hard for you sometimes to go back and say, I don't know exactly what I saw. Some of it was out of prayer. Some of it was I just knew. And sometimes the people you're training don't have the same intuition, or they don't have it yet. And so the tools sometimes help you to provide framework so that they can grow into that same intuition, same skill set that you have. Daniel Miller and I were talking about this yesterday. Like he's been in a master or just finished a master's program, and some of the things he was reading are like, that's why I always thought that was such a great idea. Now I understand kind of the science behind it, the behaviorology behind it, or whatever it may be. So we want to help our directors at the Kingdom of God is about advancement. We want to help them build the pipeline for growth that God wants to bring to them and to their Chi Alpha, so they can advance the Kingdom of God by His power and His grace on their campus. So we're never just building for now. We're also building for what God wants to do in the future. So yeah, that's where we are. That's where we're going for the next 35 or 40 minutes here. So the process, basically the process throughout the year as the local campus director will evaluate the year and submit the results to you as the district director or rep. Habakkuk 2:2, I think this is just the scripture reference of what Jeremy was talking about repeatedly. The Lord replied, write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. We want them to come away with, okay, we're clearly understanding what God is calling us to do. We're clearly understanding how we're going to execute the revelation from God, the wisdom that He's given us. We're clearly understanding what our action plan is going to be to walk this thing out. Jesus said, break them down into 50s, break them down into 100s. Let's make sure that we want to get everybody covered. So we're not just going to have this big vision, but at the end of the day, we're not even sure we executed or how we're going to execute it. We're going to have this. We're going to make it plain so that we can take action. They're going to submit that to you as the director, and you're going to review that, preferably face-to-face, if that's at all possible. We know some of you had a lot of campuses in your district, and there's probably a way, if people want to get these slides, that they can get them later on. So I know some people are taking pictures of things, but hopefully those will be available to you later on. And then for you as the district director or rep, you're getting a clear picture of where your district is. And it's not just like you're trying to have to intuit that as well, but you're getting a clear picture of where things are from your director, so that you can understand the direction that you believe God is leading you as the district director and district leader, and help make sure that you're moving in the direction that you're supposed to go to as a district as well. So I'm going to offer you three sample tools to use. The first one is a SWOT. Many of you are probably familiar with a SWOT. For those of you that may not be familiar, I'm going to take a couple minutes just to walk through what a SWOT is, and I'll explain what those letters mean in a second. And then the second one is total, because I'm a thief, total steal from what Eli Stewart talked about in his Scalable Convictions talk at CMC. The third one is one that I would love to say was my idea, but it was actually another conversation I had with Eli Stewart a few years ago about a stress test, a what-if scenario. And we've used the first one and the third one at our local campus at multiple times in the past. And then during the course of this, I'll have a couple of our directors a couple of our district directors in the Northeast come up and share, as they're also on campuses, just what they've done as far as evaluating an assessment. So you'll not just hear from me, you'll hear from a couple of them. Hopefully we'll have a few minutes at the end for any questions. So SWOT, mission accomplished stress test. I've got an explanation of each of these. It is on, if you have a laptop or a big iPad or some other device, chialpha.com/DDC. The tools are on there and you can look at them right now and you can download them. They're all just PDFs right now and you can look at them as we're talking through these things. So how many of you are familiar with the SWOT analysis? Many of you, almost everybody here is familiar with the SWOT analysis. That's awesome. That's great. We'll move through probably a little quicker then on what that is. The four letters represent strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So strengths, what do we do well? I've got the four areas of healthy Chi Alpha, the four critical issues. In our local campus, these are what we did this past year. Sometimes we may change those up. Sometimes we may bring more focus in a particular area, because we know that we need more focus in that area. So we'll drill down on maybe more components of disciple-making communities and drill down even more on small groups, resource groups, even our large group. What do we do well? Strengths. Those are the internal things. These are the things within our control. These are the things that we're celebrating, the things that produce the outcomes that we desire and we believe God has called us to, things that we're confident that God is pleased with about how we're doing things right now. Weaknesses are what we can do better, areas we know we've got to grow in. These are things within our control, areas we know we've got to grow in, areas we're like, man, we're not seeing the results that we want to see. I'm going to share the password for the Wi-Fi with XA guy right now. I don't know how it stopped. I don't know how to stop it asking me for those. Okay, you should have that, whoever you are. Are there weaknesses, things we need to remove altogether? We're not trying, okay, Paul Burkhardt, I'm sharing a password with you too. Why am I being asked? What? Okay, you have it now, congratulations. If somebody could ask somebody else for the password at this point, I'm kind of like right in the middle of something here. You're trying to avoid asking who am I gonna blame on the team for this weakness, but like what went wrong? How can we avoid that in the future? How can we do this differently, do this better? How do we need to seek Jesus on this? Where are we feeling some conviction from the Spirit? And then opportunities and threats are typically those that are external. They're outside your control as far as they aren't you and your team. So these may be things on campus. These may be things like, man, we've been struggling to see students baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's time we have Jeremy come or Dick Schroeder and just walk our team through helping folks grow in this. Maybe it's time to spend the money and what's that going to look like? And so we're trying to, that's an opportunity. What can we leverage giving our existing strengths in our national movement, in our district, on our campus, in our community that we can leverage that are outside us and our local team? What is available from God that we could use? That's not right here, but it is available to us. Sometimes it's you've never done a contact table on this one part of campus and you've walked by and you're like, why have we never done this? I mean, you're just prayer walking the campus. Like Jesus is like, yeah, that might be a good spot. And so maybe that's part of your opportunity. Threats are things, again, typically external, outside your control. For example, like the University Board of Governors decides they're going to ban all religiously affiliated student organizations. That would be a threat, obviously, which has happened before on campuses. You know, and so these things rarely go away on their own, but they may be minimized or neutralized if we're praying ahead and thinking ahead and trying to steward what God is already doing ahead. I get a little digression. In the Northeast, I am not going to be surprised if there comes a day on one of our systems where especially Christian student ministries are banned. And so I mean, we have to, when we're planting in our existing ministries, if we are not doing discipleship well, then we're kind of screwed in that moment. But if we are, we all know, how are you going to stop students hanging out in their dorm room? And we can disciple them in a coffee shop, and we can mentor them in those places if they're not going to give us access to on campus. And we all know in the end, that's preparing them for doing this overseas in a harsh place where they can't get a room to use anyway. So what are those threats that we need to be praying about that could jeopardize our mission? So you complete this practically what we've done, we've completed this individually using a Google form. We've had one of our team members compile all those results, take away everybody's saying the same thing. And what are the big themes that are coming out of this? And then now that we've filled out these charts, how do we use our strengths to take advantage of our opportunities? How do we overcome our weaknesses that are preventing us taking advantage of opportunities? What can our strengths do to reduce the probability of threats? And what can we do about our weaknesses to make the threats less likely? We're trying to process that information together as a team. And we may take hours on this. And it's coming out of all of that experience, we'll drill down on what are the three, sometimes even just two, big objectives that we're carrying into the next year. One year, one of our objectives was, as a staff team, we felt like the objective was called Our Knees Dirty First, and we just felt like we needed to increase our prayer as a staff team as we're calling students to pray. And then out of that objective, we had some goals and then action points out of those goals. So this is, what are the goals coming out of the objective? What are the things that we are hoping to see happen? And then what are the steps that we're taking to accomplish those goals? And then who's responsible and when does that do? Sometimes this might be, you need another time we felt like we need to, Jeremy was talking about our language and how important our language is. We felt like we needed to kind of codify our language locally at Fairmont State Chi Alpha. And we did everything from creating a booklet, which we had seen UTSA do, that articulated some of the key convictions and language of your local group, of our local group. We looked at ways of how we can evaluate and assess how we're using that in our discipleship and our large group. We celebrated when it happened. I mean, we had all these tools and developed some devotionals and some resources for our leaders around some of those pieces of language. And so some of those things had deadlines. Some of those things were, this is throughout the school year, we're going to add an evaluation method. Some of these were, we need to finish this resource by the end of, or by the middle of July, so we can make it available to students on our website and through our resource leaders. So that's what you're trying to drive, not just to like, well, these are great ideas, but you're trying to drive to, what are my steps of action? How am I going to make clear steps, not just big goals, but clear steps based on those goals to action? And then you're developing your plan to action. And you guys know goals, SMART, measurable, they're agreed upon by the team. They're realistic. They're timed, those kind of things. So that's the first one, a SWOT. The second one is, I'm trying to take the very, you can listen to Eli Scalable Convictions talk on, it should be on both YouTube and on the Chi Alpha site, I think. Is that right? Staff page of Chi Alpha. So basically, what Eli said is you need to be able to answer the question, what is mission accomplished on your campus? So your directors need to be able to answer this. How will I know when I'm done? How will I know when I've accomplished what God has called me to accomplish here? And then if that's the case, you know, and that may be a 10-year or 20-year or 30-year vision, let's reverse engineer from there. And then what does that mean I need to do this coming year to see that mission accomplished happen? For Eli, he was talking to us about how they felt like to get mission accomplished happen, meaning every student would have the opportunity to hear from another student the gospel and be invited into relationship where that can grow, they would need 2,000 small group leaders at Texas A&M. Well, you don't do that in year one. You don't. You don't, right? You think about even like the 120, the Holy Spirit's poured out in the 120 and 3,000 come that day. And I was thinking of the brilliance of the Lord to baptize in the Spirit 120 that had spent so much time with Jesus so that when 3,000 comes, the harvest can be stewarded, right? I remember listening to Winky Prattney. I don't know if some of you know him. He was talking about speaking at some place, and he told them God is going to bring revival to this land. And then he got rebuked by God later that night, and he said, "I'm not bringing revival here. They wouldn't be able to handle it." And he had to apologize the next day as he was speaking, saying, I apologize for what I said. God's not going to bring revival to you. But isn't that our mission? We don't care just about how many people are sitting there on our large group meeting. We're concerned with leaders. Why are we concerned with leaders? Because we want to raise up warriors that will carry the kingdom, that will carry the kingdom out there. So it's not just about how many people we can gather, but how many people we can raise up to send out. Army versus audience. Those are the things we're concerned about. And so what does that mean for next year? Okay, we want to have 10 healthy small groups this first year and see each of them raise up 2 people for our new leader training class. And then, so that's like the big objective with goals. And then we can start creating clear action steps to see those things happen right there. And if you can't answer the mission accomplished, that's, you know, as Scott was talking about last night, you got to answer the why. You got to answer why I'm here. And places where it's been hard for a missionary, they've struggled. Maybe it's them. Maybe it's the campus. Maybe it's the assignment, the location, the lack of team members or team dynamics, the vision. Remembering the vision, remembering that big call, this is what God has called us to accomplish here, I think can help people move through some of those challenges. It's a great talk. And Eli talks in there about, you know, when God brings a miracle, he always has people facilitate and be a part of that miracle. But what Steph was talking about, Jesus feeds 5,000, but that's because he has the disciples take the baskets out. They participated in the miracle of God. The last example I want to give you, it's kind of a systems to breaking the what if test. We asked this question a few years ago. We were around 45, maybe 50, between 40 and 50 small group leaders at our local campus. And kind of like what Eli was saying, you know, okay, everybody sends 2 people through your new leader training. We call ours Discipleship 101. They call theirs LTC, whatever you call yours, D class or whatever. What if everybody raises up 2 and we keep everybody? So basically, what happens if we all of a sudden triple our leaders for next year? What systems and processes, what about us breaks when that happens? That's the stress test, where the ideal is to keep going this way, but there are some things that are deviations today. If we grow, we're not going to keep going out towards the kingdom of God. Eventually, we're going to reverse course. The thing's going to crumble because we can't steward what God wants to accomplish. And so, like, part of the question, and I'll have a series of questions up here, just example questions that you may want to ask yourself. But basically, these, you know, what if unexpectedly you tripled the number of small group leaders? What if someone gave your ministry $250,000 or whatever? For some of you, that's not a ridiculous amount. For others of us, that would be a ridiculous amount. In West Virginia, that's a lot of money. What if 4 times the number of students signed up for mission trips and you had spots available? What if 3 times the number of locations requested missions teams from your Chi Alpha than you had expected to send out teams? What if 50% more than you expected came to your first worship service and many of them accepted Christ that night? Let's go to the next page. What if the International Student Office experienced mass layoffs and said, would you assume leadership of the English Conversation Partner Program? What if the school disallowed all, I kind of talked about that, you can't use space on campus. What if 4 times the normal number of CMITs applied from your campus and you wanted all of them? You know, because sometimes there are people that would be better for them if they went to another campus. What if God actually answered that prayer you have always been praying for your campus? Have you prepared your Chi Alpha in expectation of his answer? And if you haven't, what would, could, should you do differently to see this happen, to see fulfilled what you are actually praying for? Have you built the pipeline to see it happen? So what I'd like to do, let me look back at my notes real quick, make sure I'm on track. So I'd like to have Rob Malcolm and Josh Moran come up and just share for a couple minutes some their experience as local. Rob is the local director at Yale. Josh is the assistant director at University of Virginia. Josh did an incredible podcast with Lennon Nolan on how to be staff forever on a campus, but he's now pioneering next fall at James Madison University. There's a follow-up podcast coming up soon that Josh will be doing. Yeah. So, Rob Malcolm.
So, in our context, we are in our fifth year of pioneering at Yale. So, officially, this is kind of the last year. But we applied the SWOT analysis using the four puzzle pieces for the last 3 years. As a campus. And I know we all have our own models, but this has been incredibly helpful for us in the pioneering context. In fact, the first year we did it, we took a picture and sent it to Harv, because we're like, we're making communities, but not disciple-making communities. You know, and we're like, we are making unhealthy leaders. You know, it was good. It was really good for us. We're like, whoa. Because as we went through the SWOT for each part of the puzzle piece, it's just a framework. And it's really simple, but for us, it's been incredibly helpful. And every year at the end of it, once we go through, then we do the SMART goals. The big issue for us was, you know, I was looking at it in the moment there, like under each heading, we've got multiple bullet points. And then you have to go away and prayerfully consider, okay, but God, what are you speaking to in this? You know, naturally we can see all these things that we can improve. But, you know, what battle do you want us to fight in the coming year? You know, this has been the thing from the Lord for me this year is when the Israelites fought the battle without him, they never won. But when he was in the battle, they never lost. So my prayer this year has been, God, what is the battle you want us to fight? Because we know we have victory if we fight that battle. And so using this has just been incredibly helpful for us at the local campus in the pioneering process, because every year it just shifts and changes as God leads us to the point we're at just now. And the last thing I'd say is we've also employed this at a district level, and it's been interesting, and it goes back to what Matt was saying about, you know, the dog may not recognize the owner. So for some of our campuses, it's been hard because they don't want this level of review. Because it's been hard. I mean, New England is hard. You're isolated. You're by yourself. We really don't have teams. And so when we said, hey, we should do this, for someone's like, but their heart struggled with it. Because it meant an honest self-reflection. But the reward, you know, if we're looking to make healthy Chi Alpha communities, we gotta take the step and say, we gotta be honest with ourselves to start with. So as a district, it's been really good, but really hard to say, everyone, we gotta do this together. We gotta look at ourselves and say, okay, with the SWOT analysis, how are we doing in these four quadrants? But that the honest start has made a great change.
So I work with Pete, whom you all know, so that means we do everything on purpose. And we love meetings. We love meetings on our team. Our team, today is Wednesday. They started meetings this morning at 9, and we'll finish at 3 o'clock today. And we do that every single Wednesday. And so at the end of every semester, we take 4, 5, 6 days sometimes to evaluate the ministry. That we have a fundamental conviction that we want to work on the ministry sometimes instead of just working in the ministry all the time. And so giving us that chance to pull back, see where we're headed, and go there on purpose is very important to us so that we all know that we're pulling in the same direction. Harv used to live in Charlottesville, so RIP Harv. When Harv was in Charlottesville, he helped us form a mission statement for Chi Alpha at UVA, and we evaluate the ministry every year based on that mission statement. And how are we doing? What are the certain phrases? Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia is a passionately devoted, diverse, missional community of the Spirit, building lifelong followers of Jesus. And how are we doing there? And so we do SWOT analysis every single year. We alternate what SWOT looks like. And so this past year, we did SWOT on the puzzle pieces, how we are doing on each puzzle piece. And in other years, we do SWOT based on our large group service, Monday Night Live, our core groups, our social events, and then our overall culture. And so we come together, everybody fills out the entire rubric sheet. We spend a lot of time on it. We play instrumental music in the background because music with words makes you not focus on what is happening. And so that's just a pro tip. You can use that. And then what we do is we write it all out up on a whiteboard so that everybody can see as we are all agreeing on things. Then we take the night, this is from Jane Cresswell, we take the night to then sit on it and dream about it and process what could happen. We come back the next day, and then we drive towards three objectives. We would really love to drive to two. We are just not disciplined enough to do it. There have been times that we've done four objectives, which means we have accomplished none of them. And so we do two objectives that have to do with our students and their student life, and then one objective that has to do with our staff life. And so this year, the objectives are gospel fluency. We found our students can't communicate the gospel to their friends, or they're not communicating the gospel to their friends. And we found that prayer is our other objective, and so we want our students to pray more. And so we know that we as a staff need to pray more, and so we're starting a school of prayer. It started last night. And then the third objective is the JMU plant. As we look at launching our first team out, what is that going to look like? This is going to take a lot of time, and so let's make it an objective. But it's not enough to just have objectives. Then we have to have points of action that come out of those objectives. And so that is a whole nother meeting where we break up into different teams. You pick which objective you want to be passionate about, and then you sit down, and then you dream of points of action that will go over the entire course of the year. And then we go from there, and then in December, we will have a week of meetings, and in those meetings, we'll see how are we doing. We'll give ourselves a number, 1 to 10, on how we're doing on each of those objectives, and we'll say, what do we need to do in the next semester in order to heat this up? It's not that we don't do the other things. It's not that we don't keep doing other things, but what do we need to heat up right now to help us get to mission accomplished? I can say, as a district director, this past year, we implemented this in the Potomac, where I asked all the directors to fill out a SWOT analysis. And so some of them, like Matt's team, were very familiar, and then they sent their things to me. I believe this. When I first started writing newsletters, I would write the same newsletter every year. Here's a fall blitz newsletter. Here's a fall retreat newsletter. Here's a mission trip newsletter. Here's a we're back on campus newsletter. Here's a spring break newsletter. Here's a graduates are going out newsletter. And then I did that 3-4 years in a row and realized that there is actually a lot more to what we're doing. And I need to start telling better stories. I need to get my base connected with what's going on. And I've realized over my 3 years as a district director, I'm doing that same thing to the directors. Hey, how was fall startup? Hey, how was fall retreat? Hey, how are you preparing? And I'm asking them the same questions each year, and I'm not getting a chance to be with them and to let them see that bigger picture and see the bigger picture with them. And this tool where they're evaluating the whole of the ministry has allowed me to be in the trenches with them in a way that I wasn't. And so I did Zoom calls with most of the people in the Potomac. I actually bought the year-long Zoom thing to try to like force myself to have to use it. And so that's been good. And so 10 out of 10 would recommend. And so as I look at that, I have found that to be very helpful as a district director. So.
Thank you, guys. One last thing I wanted to show you as a tool that is also on the site, and that's a lot of stuff. So Harv created an assessment tool that with Harv covers everything. It is a lot. So this is like a draft version of that assessment tool. I was looking at it, reviewed it, had a couple other folks review it. I think if you have directors that are stuck in how they're assessing things, and you can look at this on your site, on the website, or you can look at some of these up here. If they're stuck on how they're assessing themselves and their leaders, if they're stuck on how they're assessing spirit empowerment, or just even coming up with ways like, I don't even know what other Chi Alphas do. Harv's this tool, I think, is great for a director who's stuck in their assessment or stuck in creating action steps coming out. Or if you have a Chi Alpha being led, we have in the Potomac, we have a Chi Alpha that's led out of a local church that doesn't have Chi Alpha background. So I think this is helpful. Heart's tool, I think, is helpful for them in helping to kind of bring more Chi Alpha DNA and culture into them from an assessment perspective. It also, I think, can be helpful for a district director in if you have questions, you're just not understanding how this director is doing some things on campus. I think Harv's tool would be helpful for answering those questions, like how do they gather their student leaders? What are the contexts in which they teach on spirit empowerment? I think it's 11 pages long. It's pretty exhaustive on that, but these are excellent questions that you can have. What percentage of students regularly, who regularly attend your large group are in a small group? Some of those are similar to the census type questions. How do you prefer your small groups to be led? We prefer missionary staff members lead the small groups. We prefer one student lead, two students, three students. We prefer the leadership of the small group to be shared and passed around the small group. And if the answer not applicable to your situation, that's a great opportunity to teach on disciple-making communities because that is applicable to their situation. So I think we're ahead of schedule a little bit. Yeah. I'll jump up when you're done. Okay. Yes, Maria. Will you take any questions? Yeah. That's a great question. That was the one I was going to take. Yes, we'll take a question. Questions.
On your SWOT analysis, mm-hmm. I think many of us are familiar with the SWOT analysis, just the top line.
The strengths, weaknesses. Yeah. Like, what do you do well on disciple-making communities? Yeah, so what is it that we do well? Well, we feel like, for example, a couple years ago, we would have answered that question. The study portion in our small groups are solid. They are solid. Weakness. We have several leaders that go into 1 hour study week one. And they lead, you know, weakness. We have many of our leaders that are approaching people saying, do you want to be in my life group? It's a freshman, second day of class. They don't even have any clue what you're talking about. So we found our weakness was our students don't know how to build relationship very well. They're doing like a promotion for their life group, you need to build relationship with people and then come back into the life group based upon that relationship. So those are a couple of examples of strengths and weaknesses. For like the large group side of disciple making, we find a threat on our campus is the lack of availability of space. We're a small campus and a large campus ministry, so we struggle getting space. So every year we kind of come back on that topic of is this the year we look at going back on campus? We were there for about 4 years, had to move back off. Do we go back on campus and go to two services? Do we go back on campus and go to, you know, back-to-back services on two nights? And we kind of talk through that same issue every year, but that's a threat to us. Does that make sense? Are there some examples? Okay. Any other questions that y'all have for me or for Josh or Rob? Anybody who just wants to hear Rob's accent, just ask him a question just to hear that. Yeah, okay, there. Amen. Amen. I see that hand. Yes.
So you mentioned
that. Right.
Have
I mean, I've got pages, documents, or numbers, or things like that. Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Brian, you're requesting like the ministry assessment questionnaire.
Yes.
Right. Would they do fill it out prior to
yes. The HARV test.
The HARV test.
I mean, this I can, you know.
Yeah, you can.
That one.
Yes.
So what Josh described was their staff team
right.
going through the SWAT together.
Mm-hmm.
So as a district director, do I want each campus's staff team to go through it together, or do I want to sit down with the director and go through it?
No, I think you want them to go through it together as a team, and I think then you want to come back. Best case scenario, you come back and you meet with them face-to-face to talk through these things on what were the results and what were the actions that were coming out of those, that are coming out of those. And this is where I think HARV's tool can be helpful. I think for a very mature campus ministry that is, they're seeing growth, I feel like HARV's tool would... I don't know that it's helpful for that campus ministry, but it may be helpful to you in answering questions you just don't know about how they do business. So you may pull some things out. I want to ask this question. I just don't know how they do business on some of those things. If they're struggling, I think it's an excellent tool to help them drill down on how more effectively they can do business on campus and how you can understand how they're doing that. But I don't think we're not asking the directors to come and be a part of the SWAT on every campus. They should do that, and then you come back and then meet with you, preferably face-to-face if you can, to walk and talk through things.
Yeah, I like to really talk about their SWOT analysis and their census data at the same time. Like, as I'm tracking trends with them.
If you didn't hear, Josh said he likes to talk through the census data as well as their SWOT at the same time, which would require them to finish the census relatively early. Daniel, you had your hand raised.
James, I mean, you know your district well, so you can think through, like, there's some teams that don't, like, they need you there to help them walk through the SWOT analysis.
True.
To help coach them through the process.
True.
And then other teams, they don't need you at all. You know, you can show back because they're going to be good self-evaluated. But some partners, like, do need help, like, because they'll sit there and ask the question, what do you well? And they don't really mind it.
Cool. Yes. You're talking about HARV's tool? I think that's the long-term goal, is to move towards uniting those things and not having multiple different things, but to try to bring some unity to that. And I mean, if you can get them to complete their census information as soon as possible. One thing you may not have caught in what Josh was talking about is doing the evaluation as soon as the semester ends, or maybe even during finals week when students are inaccessible. Because our fear and our tendency sometimes for our directors is you're just so tired. You've gone at it for so long that you're like, you know what, guys, finals have happened. We've had the parties. Let's come back. You know, you got 2 weeks, guys, or you got a week and a half. Let's come back, and then we'll assess everything. I mean, the reality, even though you're tired, I mean, this is the time to hit it. I mean, right at the end of finals or end of classes in May, right at the, you know, and some of you are in quarter systems, so your timings are different. And I don't understand quarter systems, so you're going to have to figure out how that works on how often you assess them. I apologize that I didn't even think about that until just now when I, yeah, I'm sure it works the same. Dan will be able to answer all your questions on that because that's all he has. Good. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Outstanding. Outstanding. Hey, just I want to highlight a couple things. One, I want to hearken back to the word that Steve Brannon shared with us earlier this morning about kind of like that balloon that was deflated. Even when we talk about stuff like this, guys, we have to have the inspiration, the animation of the Holy Spirit. And I think we heard that in what these guys said, like when Josh, you got up and said, you guys will, you'll write it all down and then you take the night to pray and make sure that you're following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We're not looking for a partially deflated balloon, hope it works out, hope there's some shape to it. Like, if God doesn't breathe on this, then that's not going to help us continue to grow, and we want to see the full picture of that. The other thing is this, as Matt mentioned, I know we have some phenomenal leaders. We have phenomenal leaders in this room, and a lot of you guys do a lot of these things so intuitively, but it's like somebody who's just a brilliant baseball pitcher. Not all of them remember what it's like to not know how to pitch that well. And I just feel like we need a 2 Timothy 2 to our leadership. You know what I'm saying? We believe in that in discipleship. We believe, you know, things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people. But, you know, I feel like we need to 2 Timothy 2 to our leadership. And so even when certain things come intuitively to us, let us as leaders take the responsibility to help our friends, our maybe our younger staff, learn to develop some of those tools so they can be better pitchers or whatever it is. That makes sense? And that, and I'm just thinking, man, if you're a new staff member at UVA or at Yale, and you're sitting there walking through this process, man, you're exploding with growth and thinking about how to think through a ministry. That's going to prep some people pretty well for future leadership as well as what they're currently doing. So I think that's a key value and desire for us. And then the last thing is this, as we've said, we asked for you guys as district directors to connect in with the local directors. We hope to, this would be a really, really influential pastoral meeting as well. We hope that you do sit them down, look them in the eye, buy them coffee, buy them lunch if you can, walk through how you doing. It's not just a matter of, well, we're just going to report our numbers or anything like that, but like genuine, how you doing? Where are you guys struggling? How could we help you? What resources can we provide? How are you doing? We would even ask you, look them in the eye to how you doing in your budget, your own budget. Are you, you know, how's your rhythm of life? Let's make this a really good pastoral meeting as well, because our folks, like, this is an opportunity to love and care for. Let's out love and out serve, you know, by using this as a pastoral meeting as well. As we mentioned, you guys have the closest touch, the fingertips with the greatest sensitivity to how people are doing. And this is a great way to be able to make sure we stay sensitive to what our missionaries need on the field and how they're doing on the field. Some of the worst phone calls of my life as a district director were when it came down to, hey, Steph, we are in trouble financially. We are this or we are that. And if I missed it somewhere, I just grieved the fact that I missed it. But I also know a lot of times people don't bring those things up because they're struggling. So let's just try to put ourselves in the place where we can ask good questions and love people well. Amen.